And so again, I think I've mentioned before in my past, but for those who may not know or those who are still kind of new to our church, prior to me entering into the church world, into me being called into full-time ministry, I was at UH and I majored in marketing, in particular with a minor in sales. And one of the concepts that they always focused on, one of the things they always pushed in terms of us as marketing majors was understanding the difference between something that's a want and something that's a need. Right? If it's important for you to understand how you need to market your product, how you need to sell your product, because you need to understand, is this something that people actually require in order to do? Do they require in order to live life? Or is just like this an auxiliary product, something they just enjoy to have if they can afford to have it? Take, for example, like if you're at the grocery store, right? When you're putting things into your basket, when it comes to putting in like beef, chicken, fish, or tofu, kind of like just whatever you eat in this case, those are like requirements. Like I need to have those things in order to make food to eat this week. But then when you go down the cookie aisle and you're like, do I really need these Oreos? Do I need these Chips Ahoy? Do I need these things? Like if you're on a budget, if you're trying to penny pinch, like I see some of y'all, that's needs for y'all. Again, we may have different spots of what we consider needs and wants, but generally speaking, like I could put back the Oreos and buy the chicken because that's what I need to make my food. I can't survive on just Oreos, or at least I don't know if I would enjoy that surviving if that be the case. But another one example for, again, when it comes to budgeting and finances and stuff like that, like paying for your electricity, that's something like we need electricity. We need water. Right? But when it comes to our streaming services, do I need Netflix? Do I need Disney Plus? Like, no, those are just like extra things that like if I had to cut things down, I can understand. Like, okay, well, those are going to be the first things to cut. I can't be like, well, I'm just not going to pay for my electricity. That's just not a need for me this week, right? Or again, even sometimes it gets more finite than that. Like sometimes there's a need that you have, but inside of that need, there are certain wants that you may have. So take, for example, like when we talk of cell phones, like we probably in this world, you kind of need a cell phone, right? It's how you connect to the world. It's how you call businesses. It's how businesses call you. It's your employer as they reach out to you to try to schedule with you. You kind of need a cell phone to kind of function well in our society. But do you need the newest cell phone? Do you need the fanciest thing that just came out last week? Do you need the 13 Max Pro? Do you need the Google 6 Pro Max? Whatever, all these different adjectives that keep going on the end of it. Like, do you need the best of the best? Or could you manage with like a flip phone for like $20? Right? So even in this decision, you have to figure out like, what is it that I need in my cell phone versus what is it do I just want in my cell phone? Again, this whole idea is, again, it's an essential part of marketing because it determines, again, how do you market this product? How is it something that you sell? Is this something that I need to tell people why they need this? Or is this something that I need to tell why mine is better than somebody else's? And then looking at this whole idea of wants versus needs, this is something that Paul brings us into and is something that he dives into and struggles a little bit with himself of things that he wants versus things that he knows that the gospel needs him to do. And so again, we've been continuing in our series looking at the gospel shift of just how the gospel shifts everything in our lives. Ooh, if you can help me in the back, I think it jumped to one of the songs. If y'all can help me just get to the first slide of the sermon there. But again, like it's understanding, you know, how we shift our lives, how we continue as followers of Christ to continue to do what the gospel has called us to. Right, as we transform ourselves, as we continue to be living sacrifices for God, we shift what's behind the gospel. We shift what we want rather to behind what the gospel needs. And so again, if you have your Bibles, if you have your devices, you can open them. We're going to be in Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. And we're going to pick up where we left off last time, which is in verse 22. So again, Romans chapter 15, verse 22. I'm just going to jump ahead here until I get to my sermon here. So give me just a second as I move through our songs. Ooh, maybe I went too far. That's a good reminder. Again, if you didn't know, we are going to be doing communion here in just a second. But so with that, again, let me just pull up my own Bible on my phone here. If you have your own devices, we can kind of go through it as well. But again, we'll have that up in the screen here in just a second. All right, so we'll just go through 22 through 23. So again, I'll read it through. If you have your Bibles, this is why we recommend that you have your Bibles and devices, because things happen when it comes to technology. So with that, the reason, starting at Romans 15, verse 22. So Paul reads, "This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you." So again, what we're seeing here, the first thing that Paul tells us, the first want that Paul tells us versus the need that he has to do, is he tells us that he wants to go to Rome, but that he needs to meet his responsibility to the gospel. That he wants to go visit them here in Rome, but he needs to spread the gospel to those around him. Again, looking at verse 22, Paul says that there's been a reason that he hasn't been able to come visit them in Rome. Right, that Paul has long desired to come visit the church here in Rome. And the reason why he can't come is what we ended with last time. If we look back even to verse 20, Paul says that it's his ambition, it's his mission to preach the gospel. It's not where Christ has already been known. He doesn't want to go where Christ has been made known. He wants to go to the places where Christ does not exist yet. He wants to proclaim the name of Jesus to those who don't know who Jesus is. And so Paul wanted to go to Rome. He wanted to go visit this church in Rome, but he knew that he needed to help spread the gospel in the place that he was at. That every time he was like, okay, well, now it's time for me to go visit Rome, he would discover a new place that needed Christ more. And Paul let himself, he says he was hindered in verse 22. He says he was hindered from coming to them because, again, he wanted to enjoy the company of them, but ultimately he knew that his mission was to make Christ known. I think this reminds me of a time when I was working at the restaurant I was at way back in college. I eventually made it up to the position of assistant manager. And while I was at the restaurant, there was one time where I was basically working a double. I was for lunch and dinner shifts, but I had a little bit of a break in between. And so I was working there, and it was time for me to kind of clock out and just take a couple hours just to kind of catch up, do whatever I needed to do. But unfortunately, again, as I was walking to clock out, one of my friends came over like, "Hey, I'm slammed. Can you run my drinks over for me?" And I was like, okay. So I'd walked over, I'd take the drinks, and I'd bring them over. And then as I'm walking to clock out, somebody comes over and says, "We've run out of salads. Can you go make more salads for us?" I'm like, okay, no worries. It's really busy today. That's fine. So I go and I make some salads. Then I finish making salads. I'm going to clock out. Then they're like, "Hey, all the chefs are out on the floor." I've worked at a teppanyaki, a Benihana kind of place. So they're like, "All the chefs are out on the floor. We have a to-go order that needs to be made." So I'm like, all right, well, let's start cooking. So I would start making to-go orders. And every single time, like, I wanted to go clock out. I wanted to take my break. But every single time I wanted to, somebody was calling, saying, "Hey, I need this. I need this. I need this." And so I was like, okay, we got to do what we got to do. And I think this is what Paul is kind of coming through here in this moment too. He's like, I want to go to Rome. I want to visit you in Rome. But then as I want to go visit you in Rome, I hear of this place over here in Ephesus. And there are people there that don't know who Christ is. So I'm going to go to Ephesus and I'm going to plant a church there so that the name of Jesus can be made known. And he says, okay, well, now I've planted the church in Ephesus. Now I want to come visit you in Rome. But then he hears of this place over in Corinth that's just not that far along. And he says, well, I should go to Corinth and I should proclaim the name of Jesus to the people in Corinth and plant a church there. And then he finishes in Corinth and he says, okay, well, now let's go visit Rome. And then he finds out there's another place in Philippi that they need to hear of Jesus, and so on and so on and so on. This is what Paul is wanting to do. He wants to go visit them. But every time he does, he finds out that there's another group of people that don't know who Christ is. And it's his mission to make Christ known to the world. And then we continue in verse 23, where Paul says, "But now since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, I can come visit you." Right? Paul isn't saying, and I said this last time we went over this, Paul isn't saying like, okay, so Christ is known everywhere in the land. Like everyone's now a believer. But again, Paul's mission is to proclaim Christ where he is not known. He's saying, at this point in the area that I'm in, like, people know of Christ. The work now is to continue to make him known and to dive deeper as disciples of Christ. And so Paul says, I want to go to a new region where people don't know who Christ is. And so in that idea, I can come visit you in Rome now. All right? This is Paul's idea, that he has met the gospel in the area. And now, again, he's free to come visit Rome. But he doesn't quite get there yet. So let's see what he says in the next few verses to see what this next want versus need that Paul has to deal with. In 24 through 29, it reads, "I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you. Once I have enjoyed your company for a while, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owed it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in the spiritual blessings, they ought to be of service to them in the material blessings. When therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And so I think the second want versus need that Paul struggles with is, again, now he's saying, well, I want to come visit you in Rome because I want to go to Spain. But I have to do this first. I have to go deliver this need to Jerusalem first before I can go to Spain. See, in verse 24, Paul lays out his want, right? He says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. He wants to go to Spain. He wants, again, to continue to bring the gospel where the gospel is not known. And Paul is going to say, he's saying that he's going to make a pit stop in Rome on his way to Spain. Rome is basically going to be his Buc-ee's on the way up, essentially. Right, so in his way that he's going, he says, Spain is on the outskirts. It's on the very edge of the Roman Empire. It's essentially the last part of the unknown world. Because here in this time period, the Americas haven't been discovered. A lot of Africa hadn't been surveyed yet. And so the end of the known world at that time was Spain. This was the last part that Paul needed to go to proclaim who Jesus was. And so we continue and we see that in verse 25, he says, despite the fact that I want to go visit you in Rome as I make my way to Spain, there's something I have to go first. I have to bring the aid to Jerusalem. Paul had raised monetary support. You can read this in the first and second Corinthians. You can read this through Acts as he continues through the story. Paul says that I've brought this aid to the church in Jerusalem. Because see, about 10 years back, there was a severe famine that hit, and the effects of that famine were still having problems for the church in Jerusalem, even to this day. And so Paul is saying that, hey, because of everything that's happened, I've collected aid, and I'm now trying to bring that aid to the church in Jerusalem. And Paul explains that he's taken money from the churches in Macedonia and Achaia to help support the poorer in Jerusalem. And the reason he gives this is because in verse 27, he says, not only have I taken this, but they were happy to give this aid. They wanted to aid the church in Jerusalem. In fact, they owed it to them. And what he means by this is Paul is saying that since the churches, the Gentile Christians, that even us to this day, we get to enjoy the fact that Christ has come, right? We get to enjoy eternal life through Jesus Christ. But the only reason why we get to enjoy Jesus is because of the spiritual background of the Jewish people. That through their sufferings, through their endurance of everything going on, the fact that Jesus came from a Jewish background, all of these things we owe to the Jewish people. And so Paul is saying that because of all this that we owe to them, not only do we enjoy the spiritual blessings of having eternal life with them, but we should also help them monetarily. We should help them in their physical needs as well. Think of it like if you have a friend and you've been talking with them, you've been getting along with them really well, and they're like, hey, you tell them like, hey, I need a job. And they're like, hey, I have a friend who owns a company. I can talk to them. They can probably hook you up. So let me talk to my friend who's the owner of this company, and let's see if they can get you a job. Right, they get you in, you're working, you're loving it, you're thriving, you're enjoying your time there. And several weeks, several months go by, and then you hear that your original friend, that their company shut down, they went bankrupt. And now they're in need. They're the ones who need help. And they come to you and like, hey, could you help me out? And you're like, well, of course, like I'd love to help you out. Like the only reason why I'm prospering right now is because you helped me get this job. Like you helped me get to where I am right now. Paul is making kind of the same argument. The fact that we as Gentiles get to enjoy the blessings of Jesus is because of what God had done through the Jewish people. And because of all those things, Paul is saying we owe them, that the churches here in the land of Rome owe the church in Jerusalem for the work that they had done. And so this is what Paul is getting at and how Paul is saying, like, it's our duty to help them. And so as he continues, he says that this offering that he gives, it's to help the churches, it's to help those who are poor in spirit. And unfortunately, the system isn't working right now, so I can't show you this picture, but we still do this to this very day. That when we take offertory here, whether you give physically or you give online, every time that you give to us here at West Houston, part of that money goes to support the gospel being spread across the world. In particular, right now, we're working with churches in Cambodia. We're working with churches in Vietnam. And the one that I had in particular was one of the churches in Cambodia, near and dear to my heart, because that's where my family comes from. But it's a little town that they're working through, that they've tried. I remember the story telling from Pastor Hong Song that they wanted to name their church West Houston Vietnamese Baptist Church, which would be really weird in the church in Cambodia to be called West Houston Vietnamese. But again, that's how much they cared for us. They appreciated the work that we were doing for them. They wanted to name their church after us. And Pastor Hong Song was like, no, that doesn't make any sense. You can't call your church Vietnamese Church in Cambodia. But I remember like looking through the pictures, the support that we give here, the money that you give here goes to them. It helps them. Not only are we helping to help them build a church, we're helping to provide them food. There's a picture of this little girl with soup, and I've known that soup. I've had that soup. It's called tlak mai. My mom, every now and again, she still makes it. It's basically mashed up fish with lemongrass. And looking at her, you can just, your heart kind of breaks to see, like, I wish there was more that we could do. You can see them having worship services. You can see them engaging and trying to, again, see how the gospel can be shared. The money that we give is helping to make that possible. There's a picture there of these children who are coloring. The money that we give is helping to buy them pages and crayons and color pencils, things that we often take for granted here. The money that we're giving is going there so that those kids can actually have fun. They can do something that engages the gospel at the same time while having something they can be creative with. The money and things that we're giving here is helping to buy them computers that they can enter and they can have Zoom conversations and enjoy the teachings from us with us here. Then on a regular basis, Pastor Hong Song is teaching to the Cambodian churches. And they're having to figure that out because there's a good 12, 13-hour time difference to where he'll be up to like 11 or 12 p.m. to teach them in the morning. And so this is what we've been called to. This is what Paul is telling us here, that it's our responsibility to continue to help the gospel go out to the churches that are in need. And it's something, again, that's a heart, that's something that's on our heart here at West Houston, is we want to continue, again, to share the gospel wherever we can. And so Paul continues in verse 28. And he says that once he's done with all of this, once he's taken this aid to the church in Jerusalem, once he's given the support that he needs to give, he now wants to, again, continue, and he wants to go visit the church in Rome on his way to Spain. He again, re-emphasizes the want that he has. And he knows that when he does that, it will be a blessing to him, is what he tells us in 29. That Paul wants to visit the church in Rome so that he can be blessed by them. Since, again, his goal was to reach Spain, to spread the gospel. He needed the encouragement. He wanted the support of the people in Rome as he made his way there. And so lastly, let's look at verse 30 through 33, and we'll see the last want and need that Paul kind of struggles with. So verse 30, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. And so the last want, need that Paul brings us into is actually the same in this case. It's different than all the other ones. Paul is saying that he wants them to pray for them. In fact, he says that I need you to pray for me. In verse 30, Paul makes his request to Rome. Right? He says, he asked them, would you pray for me? But this word ask, this word can be translated a couple different ways depending on which Bible you have, which Bible translation you have. Some of them say that he urges them to pray for him. And if you look and you do a word study on that, you can see oftentimes that's also translated begged or pleaded or implored. So it's much stronger than just saying like, hey, can you do me a favor? Paul is saying like, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. Would you please pray for me? You may be asking, like, why so serious? Why is Paul so passionate about them praying for him? And for that, he goes into it in verse 31. Paul says he wants them to pray for his safety from the unbelievers in Judea. Keep in mind, that remember, that Paul used to be somebody who opposed Christianity. He used to be somebody who opposed who Jesus Christ was. Remember that Paul used to be a Pharisee. Remember that Paul used to be one of these unbelievers in Judea. And so when Paul is now returning to Judea, he's returning to a group of people that he's turned against. He's returning to a place that he has essentially like betrayed in their eyes. He's backstabbed them in their opinion. And so he's concerned of what will happen when he enters back into this group that he has once known. And his concerns are very justified. You can read about them in Acts 21. When Paul enters into Jerusalem after he's given his aid to the church in Jerusalem, he then enters to the temple where he prays. And one of the guys, not even arguing about what Paul is doing, he's saying, like, that's Paul. That's the guy who's preaching faith by Jesus Christ. We need to go and kill him. So Paul is very much justified in saying, pray for me that I would be saved from the unbelievers in Jerusalem. And then the second thing that he continues, he asks that we would pray that his gift would be acceptable to the saints. Now, honestly, we don't completely know what Paul is getting at here. We don't know if he's saying, like, hey, we're taking a large sum of money a long way to get to Jerusalem. Pray that, like, we can get there safely, that the gift would be acceptable, that there's still a gift that is acceptable left to give. Or he could be praying about the fact that, again, at this moment, still tensions are running high between Gentiles and Jews. That maybe as he brings this gift from the Gentiles to the Jewish Christians there, maybe they would still be upset about things, that they wouldn't want to accept it. They may fear the retribution from the Jewish people around them accepting something from the Gentiles, that they may not be comfortable accepting this gift. So we don't know exactly what Paul is getting at, but he's asking us, would you pray that this gift of aid that I'm bringing would be acceptable to them? And then the last reason we'll find in verse 32, Paul asked them to pray that they would be able to go visit Rome. And I love that this small part in the verse exists, because it reminds us that in all of our plans and everything that we want to do and everything that we try to do, ultimately we need to pray that this is the will of God, right? That we may want to go do something. We may want to do things that are ultimately good, that may help spread the gospel, that may help grow the church. But ultimately we need to continue to pray that whatever it is that we're trying to do is still what God has called us to do. And then after this huge ask of a prayer, Paul then prays for the church in Rome. In verse 33, Paul says that I pray that the God of peace be with you, that the God of peace would be with you in the church in Rome. But more accurately, Paul is actually saying that he's praying that God, who is the author of peace, he's praying to God, the one who gives peace. He's praying to God, the one who imparts peace upon them, that this peace would go on to them and would go to the people around them. Seeing how much Paul emphasizes prayer, again, it tells us how important prayer should be for us, even to this day. That it should be something that's essential and something that we focus on and live by to this day. See, back before there was internet and all these things that you could know everybody just because of whatever tweet or whatever YouTube that's been out, back in these old days, there was a time where these two gentlemen wanted to go visit a church because they knew the preacher, the pastor there, and he was well known for his teaching. His name was Lewis Sperry Schaeffer. And he was a well-known pastor preacher, and he was somebody that they wanted to go visit. And so one day they finally managed to schedule, and they went to go visit his church. And they came in early because they wanted to make sure they got a seat. And when they entered, they saw a man, and he saw that they had come in early. And he said, hey, since you guys are here early, would you like a tour of the church? And they were like, well, there's nothing else we can do, so sure. Like, let's go see what the church is like. And so the man tours them around. He shows them, and he says, hey, the last thing we're going to go do is we're going to go enter into the basement. We're going to see how the church is powered. And when they enter into the basement, they see this large room, probably the size of this, if not bigger. And when they enter into this room, they see just a massive amount of people on their faces, on their knees, and they're praying. And the man says, this is what powers our church. For the service that we're about to have upstairs, for the worship that we're about to do, for everything that's about to take place upstairs, it's powered by the prayer of these people. And the man who was touring them around was Lewis Sperry Schaeffer himself, the man that they wanted to come visit, the man they wanted to hear. He was saying, the only reason I can do the things that I can do right now because of the prayers of the people down here. Again, that's still true for us to this very day. Everything we do here is in prayer, is in request, is in devotion to who God has called us to be. And we continue to make that just our passion, to make that the thing that drives us. That the man here who they came to see taught them a very valuable lesson that we still apply to us to this very day. It's what Paul finishes with. It's what Paul ends the chapter with, is prayer. Not only wanting prayer, not only needing prayer, but praying for the church in Rome. So as we come to a close this morning, there are a few things that I think I want to leave you with. The first thing is, I think we need to ask ourselves, are we open to when God detours our lives? Like again, Paul wanted to go to Rome, but then he would get detoured to spread the gospel. And then he wanted to go to Spain, but then he gets detoured to Jerusalem. And then he wants to go to Rome, who could go to Spain through Rome after going through Jerusalem. But in Jerusalem, he actually gets detoured again. Again, you can read this here in Acts 27, 28, and I would highly recommend it. It's an epic tale. But in trying to go to Rome, Paul is on a boat, and on the boat there, there's a massive storm lasting 14 days. And in this storm, it shipwrecked them on the island of Malta. And after he gets off the boat, the people there, the natives are like, wow, okay, we're amazed that you guys survived. Let's build a fire. They build a fire, and Paul gets bitten by a venomous snake. And they're like, oh my gosh, this guy must be like cursed because he survives this storm only to walk out and be bitten by a snake. Like clearly, like the gods, in their opinion, wanted this man dead. And literally, Paul shakes the snake off, and he lives. He survives. And they're just like, they're amazed by all this happening. And they start to think, Paul must be a god. And so Paul denies it. He's not like, no, that's not who I am. But there's one true God. And then in that name of the one true God, he starts healing people. And you can, to this very day, you can go visit Malta, and there are museums dedicated to the story of what Paul has done there, of how he proclaimed Christ there. And it's only after all of these things happen, after being shipwrecked, after being bitten by a snake, after healing and proclaiming the name of Jesus to the island of Malta, that Paul finally gets to go to Rome. But he doesn't go there as a free citizen. He goes there as a prisoner of Rome. So again, I ask you, are you open to having your life detoured by God? That when you want to do something, are you open to seeing where God pushes you towards and how God uses you for his glory? Second thing I think we need to ask ourselves is if there's something we want, but God is telling us that there's something else that we need. That maybe we've been asking for something. We've been wanting something. We've been praying for something. But God is telling us that there's something more that we need first before we can have that. In all of Paul's wants that we went over, none of them were bad things. They were all good things. He wanted good things for the glory of God. Paul wasn't saying like, oh, I want like a fancy new robe, or I want a new quill to write my letters with. I don't know what Paul wanted. But again, just whatever it was, we don't know. He wasn't asking for things, rather, that were bad things. He was asking for things that he wanted for the glory of God. But even then, Paul's wants, he knew that there was something that God needed more. So maybe there's something we've been wanting. Maybe there's something that we've been desiring. Maybe there's something that we're chasing after. And maybe there's something that God wants for us to do first. There's something God needs for us to do first. And again, I say that relatively. It's not that God needs us, but just keeping in this wants and needs kind of idea that I have. And maybe there's something that we want, but there's something that God knows we need more, is maybe a better way of phrasing it. And I think the only way for us to know what is it that God wants for us to need, for lack of a way, for another way of saying it there, the only way we can know what God needs for us is for us to continue to keep in prayer with him. And that when we pray, again, we need to make sure that we're, in a sense, praying correctly. Are we asking for God's will to be done, or are we asking God to do our will? Are we praying that God move things in our lives, or are we praying for God to move us? Because when it comes to praying, oddly enough, I think one of the movies that did best was actually Evan Almighty. In talking to God, again, he says, if someone is praying for patience, do you think God gives them patience? Or does he give them the opportunity to be patient? If they're praying for courage, does God give them courage, or does he give them opportunities to be courageous? I think for us today, I think we have to ask that question. Are we praying for God, or are we praying to God? Are we praying for God to give us faith, but ignoring the opportunities to be faithful? Perhaps to be faithful with our money, with our time, with our resources? Are we praying for God to be made known in this world, but then ignoring opportunities for God to actually be made known? To be made known with our friends, our family, our coworkers, our fellow students? I hope and I pray that starting even from this day, even if that starts for you today, that you make this commitment to pray to God more than you pray for God. And again, maybe you're new to this whole Christianity thing. Maybe you're still entering into this thing and you're still trying to figure out what exactly is what. What does all this mean? How does all this work? Again, if that's you, then again, we're glad that you're here. We love that you entered into this place. And we want to share what that means for you, of what it means to put your faith in Jesus Christ, of what it means to dedicate your life to following after him, of what it means to learn to pray to him rather than for him. And so again, if that's you, if you're wondering, if you have questions, if you're trying to find out what does it mean to follow Christ in this way, then again, I'll be up here up front after, or again, you can talk with me after service ends. Again, if somebody invited you here, as we continue to say, if somebody gave you the link and told you to watch this, then they care enough about you that they wanted you to know who Jesus was. And so ask them, find out why is it that they sent you here? Why is it that they told you to come visit here? And we continue to see how Christ moves in us and how he grows in us and how he continues to shape us and change us and make us more and more like him. And so again, I just hope and I pray that we continue to move in ways that makes us pray more to God rather than for God. And so with that, let me pray for us here this morning. Father, again, we ask that you do that here in our lives, that again, as we continue to offer up who we are to you, as we continue to pray to you, again, would you continue to move us? Would you continue to inspire us into what it is that you want more than what it is that we want? Would you continue to tell us what it is that we need? Would you continue to show us your glory, to continue to guide us and allow us again to submit to your sovereignty, that we know that you are good, that you have a plan for your glory to be made known, that you sent your Son to die on a cross for us. And so we pray that you would continue to allow us to submit our lives to you. And so, Father God, we thank you for each and every person here. We thank you for bringing us to this place. We thank you for allowing us to visit this place, to visit this YouTube site, whatever it is, however it is that we're connecting here with you. We thank you for these opportunities and pray that, again, you would just continue to soften our hearts, to open us up, and allow us to dive deeper into who it is that you are. And so, Father, again, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for your grace. Even though we don't deserve it, we thank you for it anyway. And we continue just to open us and pray all these things to you, God. And so we ask that you continue to move in us and continue to shape us. And again, just continue to allow us to remember what it is that you've done for us. So we thank you. We do these things and pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen.